wanted to ask you before we left the church, were you well paid?
No, I was not well paid. It seems to me that I got promoted to $2,400.
A year?
A year.
That's not terrible.
No.
What year was that, do you think?
That would have been about 1940.
It was enough to live on, though.
Yes. Of course, I had some. To help for the family expenses, then. I didn't think too much about it. Did you have another question?
Oh, yes. Were there other adult education programs at other churches in the area that you know of?
I don't remember of any.
So yours was pretty much an initiator?
Yes.
As far as that's concerned?
Mm-hmm. There may have been churches that had old special courses on religion or whatever, but nothing, I think, of the scale that we had.
Yes.
I remember that I went to Mills College to an adult education conference.
Uh-huh.
And the overseers were in charge. Do you remember them? And I can remember now my shock in reading the program and finding that I was on a panel one morning to talk about it. There were four of us on the platform, and fortunately I was the fourth one called on. So I don't know what the others said, because I had to organize what I was going to say. But I was never one liking to do that kind of thing, and I was really practically paralyzed, but I knew I had to do it, so, and I did have a good material to draw on. And it went over all right. I was one of the high points was I got compliments from Harry Overstreet for what I had said. He walked home with me after the meeting to enlarge on it. So that was very pleasant.
At that point in time, did you feel that you were you starting to have trouble then? Had you already had this trouble with the trustee?
No.
Over that class? But
that was before I had any trouble.
The church was starting to take a more conservative slant with the wealthier membership.
Yes, but that was later on. That was toward the end of my being there. And really, as I look back, it's quite remarkable that we carried on as wide a program with as little trouble as we did.
Did you see that was what you wanted to do with your life at the time? You remember giving it any thought?
I know I enjoyed working with people and different groups of people, and that I wanted to work with people, not in something that would not be related to what was going on in the world. Whether it would be another education, I think I think decided. But anyway, a member of the recruiting staff of the National YMCA came to see me, and I had an interview with her. And from what she told me, I thought that I would be interested. So she said that there were openings. She'd send me papers, and I could see whether I would like to.
What year was this?
This was the fall of 41. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was it was late in 41, because I left the church in August of 41.
Had you left the church over this incident with the...
No. We kept right on going.
Oh, you kept on going until you took the job at the Y?
I think we finished out what we were doing with this man, and I talked with the committee about it to be sure that they understood what the situation was, and we didn't have any more trouble. We evidently didn't have any controversial person after that, or they didn't get hurt. So,
did you keep your job then there until you picked up the other job?
Yes, I stayed there and worked on pleasantly until there were several papers sent to me, and the one in the Honolulu YWCA appealed to me because it was adult education and membership.
Mm-hmm.
I discussed with several friends who had been in Honolulu and knew the YWCA, whether they thought it advisable, because it was quite a jump.
Mm-hmm.
to give up everything and we're saying, listen, friends, and but it seemed to be the thing to do. So I sent in my application to the Honolulu YWCA, and they wrote, invited me to come in September to take the job. So I finished up the work at the First Congregational Church and went to Honolulu. I was sort of interested that they employed two women to fill my job when I left.
Well, that says something about how hard you were working.
I really did, but it was such enjoyable work. Not that there weren't problems in it, but...
And how did you overcome your feelings about the why, as far as the organization maybe being a little bit bigoted in certain ways?
Well, see, I was entirely separated from it from the time that incident in college. Although I think my senior year, they said they would open the doors to what to Unitarians, but I had lost interest then.
That would do it.
Yeah. So, anyway, I had a very wonderful friend in Los Angeles who was on the adult education committee with whom I had done quite a little. She had been president of the Los Angeles YWCA, and gradually she drew me into some of their activities, and I heard more about what they were doing, and I went to meetings with her. So I realized that they had grown out of some of the things that I didn't like in the beginning, which made them all right, but they just didn't coincide with my ideas. So,
did you consider yourself a devout person, religiously devout, at that time?
No, I wouldn't say so.
Was the religion a very central part of your life? You always worked with it, but...
Yes.
Do you think if you'd done something else, you would have been very religiously involved?
Well, that's sort of a hard question. Of course, I grew up in the church from the time I was very small. And with the influence of my parents and their, I think they had a strong faith, but not a pious faith. It was part of them, part of their way of living. I know so many times my mother said that what does the Lord require of you? That to love justice, to love mercy, seek justice, and walk humbly with thy God, from Micah. And it was that sort of influence, I think, that I was never terribly active in the church after we came to California, except that I was a member of the First Congregational Church, and I was, of course, very active in all of its work. I was one of the charter members of the Business and Professional Club of the church, which was a very delightful organization. So...
Were there a lot of women in that organization?
Mm-hmm. It was a very fine group of women. It was really a privilege to belong in that group, and my friend was the first president of it, and I was on the first board of that, and we really had a very good time. Two of the friends who were on that board are coming out Saturday to see me. They come out every once in a while after all these years. That's very nice. We have a lot to remember. So I think that I'm a religious person, but not a pious person. And
it was almost as coincidental that your life's work has been in religion then.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And of course, in the YWCA, I think that deepens your religion in a outreach way.
You encounter a lot of different types of people.
Yes. And the need to act on some of the problems you see, not just pray about them. It's all right, pray, but let them be doing something too. I don't think I'm saying this very well, but...
No, that's the justice part. Just want to make the world brighter.
Yes.
As your Christian duty.
Yes.
You could find it.
Mm-hmm.
You picked up and went to Honolulu then.
Yes.
So that must have been an incredible move.
It was quite a move. September.
Had your parents passed away by then?
Yes, both parents. First my mother, and then a year later my father.
So you were free to go?
Yes. And I had no real ties, except I hated to leave the friends. And...
How did you like Hawaii?
Oh, I really loved it. I think because of that trouble, I should say that the church was very nice. They gave me a very nice farewell reception and said some very nice things. So it was a very pleasant leaving. It wasn't troublesome. Well, when I arrived in Honolulu on the Lurline, and it happened that the executive had left, and the former executive had been asked to come back as an interim, and she went over on the same ship that I did. So I got acquainted with her, and a little acquainted with the Honolulu YMCA, because she had been there a number of years previous to her retiring. So it was a little hard getting adjusted, but they had found an apartment for me to share with a teacher at Punahou School. And she was a very fine teacher, but a little difficult to live with. However, we managed to get along. I think I was the most appalled because she wouldn't allow me in the kitchen. If she was in the kitchen, she would not allow me to step into the kitchen. You know, I was so surprised at that. It was a little adjustment. But anyway, then I plunged into the Honolulu YWCA activities and got acquainted with a membership committee and the Adult Education Committee, and we set up our various classes that we had there. We had lots of handwork classes, that is, we had block printing and painting, lahala weaving, and very interesting groups. I had first a Chinese secretary, but she had applied for a job in the government there, and she got it. So then I had a little Japanese secretary. Both of them were very bright and very helpful and very efficient. So I worked along taking little expeditions around the island to get acquainted. And it was a beautiful place. And it was just lovely. And trying to make some new friends. And
did you meet many Hawaiian natives?
Yes. Our lahala weaving teacher was Mrs. Wood, who was a full-blooded Hawaiian, a wonderful woman. So it was just in the fall a matter of sort of getting acquainted and getting the classes going and getting acquainted with the membership committee, which was all Chinese, Japanese, Filipinos, Koreans, a few Howards, you know, and I enjoyed them very much, but I found there was a little different way of work. For instance, with the Japanese, if we would work out a plan for a party or a meeting we were going to have and set the day for it, and then nobody would come. And I would say, well, what was the trouble? Why didn't you come? Well, we always had some other affair on that day. Well, you knew that. Why didn't you say that that was not a time? Well, that wouldn't be polite. So there were little things like that I finally learned. But
were the people that were members in the classes largely Orientals, or?
Yes. No, I wouldn't say they were largely Oriental, because there were many visitors from the mainland there for the winter or for vacations, and they came for classes. So there were quite a few of those, as well as the local people.
Did this YWCA have an area for women that were transient, more or less, to come?
They had a separate residence, Fernhurst, for employed women, and I think for some transients. We had a very fine building right across from the Capitol in the center of Honolulu. Let's see. It's a three-story building. So we had room for classes and activities. We had an outdoor swimming pool and a big gymnasium and an excellent cafeteria with an outside patio for eating. It was very popular. It was a very interesting place to be. So we rode along, and then there seemed to be a little tension growing. There were some little rumors about war. Of course, there was quite a bit of maneuvers and activities, and aerial activity and so on. And then Sunday morning, the 7th, you won't remember that, but I will. The night before, a group of us had been out to the community theater. After the theater, we drove up Manoa Valley because it was the night grooming series were in bloom, a whole long stretch of them, I don't know, a very long stretch of them. It was a beautiful sight. So then we got home about midnight. I got home, and I went in, and I tried to turn on the light in the bedroom. It didn't come on, so I started my blackout one night ahead of time. The next morning, I woke up, and I heard firing. And I was about half awake. I thought, well, this is very strange. We never had practice firing on Sunday morning. And then my housemate came rushing in, and she said, get up, we're under attack. So I rolled out very quickly, and we had the radio on.
Where were you living?
I was living in Manoa Valley on Lanihuli Drive.
How far were you from?
A little way out from the business center. I think it must have been a mile or two.
How far were you from the areas that were hit?
Well, not very far. There was a bomb fell on the hill, I think less than a mile from us, quite near where I was living. And there were some that fell fairly near the YWCA, and one hit the home of one of our staff members, a Chinese girl, and was almost destroyed, totally destroyed. Well, the radio kept saying, keep off the streets, keep off the streets, we are under attack. And
did you put your clothes on?
Yes.
We got about 7:30,
dressed up, ready for whatever.
It was about 7:30 in the morning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we just sat and listened to the radio. We got the news and the attack on Pearl Harbor. We could hear all the noise of the firing, the bombs, and the planes overhead. But as I remember it, we didn't go out that day, but that night I was called to come to the YW in the morning because we were going to be required to feed the home guard. Mm-hmm. So I got up early, and I had my car there, a little Ford, and I picked up another staff member who was not too far away, and we went down to the YW, and we saw the big trucks coming in, bringing in those that had been killed at Pearl Harbor. I remember that. And I remember their telling how terribly the doctors had been hurt by what they had seen when they'd been called out to help. Well, that was a pretty sad morning. We went down to the YW and started in helping get breakfast for the home guard, which was almost entirely Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Were any of the locals, the Howleys, acting suspicious immediately of the Japanese?
I don't remember. There were very few, I think just about a half a dozen Japanese picked up and taken to Sand Island off the shore as being under suspicion. But the others, well, they had been faithful workers. I couldn't imagine my little Japanese secretary being a part of any of that.
She was as horrified as you, I'm sure.
Yes, yes. And the very sad thing at that time was that so many of the Japanese destroyed their treasures, their heirlooms, everything, because they thought it was disloyal to have them.
Just pictures of the
priceless things that were destroyed. And some of the service men who came in great numbers to the islands were not very pleasant to the Japanese. I know my little secretary came in from one morning from doing an errand, and she was just shaking and quite, and I said, well, what's the trouble? What happened? She said, well, a sailor spat on me, you know. There were many that were not like that, and many came to the YWCA, and many enrolled in our classes, which we organized as soon as possible. We had first aid classes just running constantly, and we had a most marvelous woman doctor, Dr. Faust, who gave a course for the service wives. This was a very sad time for them. There were so many of them who were pregnant. Their husbands had been either killed or gone off to fight, and they were just really terrified. And this woman was marvelous with them. And those that were about to have babies, she, you know, told them about helping each other and not to be frightened. So you really couldn't help being. But anyway, we had a big room full of these. This was the Howard, the white wives. And then gradually we started other courses in Chinese cooking and Japanese cooking. And we had beginning Japanese and beginning Chinese. And the service men came to that so that they could learn enough so if they were shot down or caught, they would be able to communicate a little.
There was a lot of servicemen on the island then?
Oh, great, great many. Yes.
During the entire war?
They kept bringing them in, yes.
Well, were they shipping them off then to the Philippines?
Yes, and they went out to battle. Remember the Battle of Midway, which was quite a crucial battle. And of course they had to bring in those to replace those who were killed at Pearl Harbor. And all the airplanes were destroyed in that attack, so there were more planes having to be brought in and more men. And one of the things we used to do in the evening, several of us would be walk up the hill where we could look down on our harbor in Honolulu and across where Pearl Harbor would come in and see the convoys come in. We'd be so glad when they would come in safe. It was really quite thrilling to see them steam in.
Do you remember a feeling on the island that perhaps you'd be attacked again?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
That was a constant
fear. Yes. We had blackout, of course, but...
How long did that last?
Oh, quite a long time. But as everyone said, it was kind of ridiculous because there was a bright moon overhead, and there's this white line of surf all around the island.
The outline.
So it's almost like daylight. We took turns, the staff did, in staying down in the YWCA building overnight to be up at 4 o'clock to start getting breakfast for the home guard.
How many did you feed?
I think it was about 300.
And these were largely Japanese?
Yes.
Did this change when the Japanese were finally drafted into service then, about a year later?
Well, I can't remember now how long we did this, but I think until the emergency was over, I would think it would have been several months anyway.
What was their function, the home guard?
Well, to protect the city. They went up into the hills. We packed lunches for them to go up so that we were to be evacuated into the hills if we were attacked. And all of us on the staff were lined up and given special assignments in case of attack. We had a shelter in our basement. And this was so ridiculous, you know. We were all issued gas masks, which we had to keep with us all the time. And I was assigned the fire extinguisher on the top floor in case we were under attack with a firebomb.
You were supposed to?
I was going to run with my little fire extinguisher.
You probably took it very seriously.
Save the building. Can you imagine?
No.
You know, when there was a war coming of a raid, I had to run up to the third floor and grab my fire extinguisher and my gas mask and stand guard.
You didn't think it was funny at all.
It really didn't seem funny to me at the time, because it seemed to me that was so ridiculous.
How many of these raid warnings did you have?
We had quite a few.
Were they just supposed to be to get you in
ready? No, it was whenever they thought there
was Japanese flying over.
And there were some bombs and some on the other islands. There was one dropped on Kauai, I think. They said the only thing that was killed was a chicken.
Poor chicken.
We had all sorts of stories. Let's cheer this up. The one that came over the radio was that the blackout in Long Beach. All of a sudden, the sign came on, "Welcome to Long Beach."
<That's amazing. laughs> Pointing the way.
And another one was when one of the first ships of came in to bring replacements for the Army and the Navy. The commander came out and was greeted by the Home Guard drawn up on the pier, all Japanese.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, "My God, we're too late."
That's true.
So we had some...
He wasn't serious, was he?
That was a story that was told on the radio. Well, things were very surprising around there.
Did you have any special programs for the Japanese at that time?
Well, you see, this came on me my first December there. Mm-hmm. And I think there were Japanese in some of our courses. But after that, we did have courses for the Japanese. But really, we all held our breath every morning when the B-22s went over. They flew very low over the city. They were so heavily loaded they couldn't get up. And if anything had happened and one had come down, we would have all been blown sky high. But you couldn't hear anything. You couldn't talk on the telephone or anything when all those things went over every morning. So we held our breath till that got clear. And there were reports of submarines sighted around the island. And of course there was a general uneasiness about having had that sudden attack that one time, for which we were really not prepared, in spite of all that they'd said about it.
Well, you were so much more involved in the war than you were than the rest of the Americans.
Oh, yes, we were involved, all right.
You were actually in the war.
Yes, we were actually in the war, and they brought the soldiers back, sailors back, after an attack for rest and recreation, and many of them came to the YW, and we talked with many, and they had programs. Social programs for them, and we were told, you know, what to do, and if a returning soldier, sailor, wanted to talk about his experience, so let him do it once, but not let him do it again, just one time. And they had terrible stories. I think the worst were from Iwo Jima when they came back from that. So we had them in the cafeteria, and then as I got some courses going, we had quite a few, both servicemen and women, in the courses, and in the painting courses, and especially the men liked the Chinese cooking and Japanese cooking. They were going to get recipes to take home to their wives. And there were some of the finest young persons. It was a heartache to think of what they were going through and what lay ahead of them, probably. But anyway, of course, there was a great influx of officers and various kind of civil defense people. The USO burst forth, and we had the women's USO in our building. We had a very large room at the front of the building, a sort of a meeting place, and people would come in and sit and talk and rest. We'd turn that over into the Women's USO. And it was very nice. A friend of mine from Pasadena came to be head of the USO, Women's USO there. And she and her husband were out just recently. You know, it seems so long ago that we were involved in that. But anyway, it's good to see old friends. the taste of downtown was part. One, there was just no place for civilians. It was all, you know, defense. And one time there was a big sign on one parking lot, "Reserved for civilians, God bless them." One parking place. Well, of course, the Capitol building was right across the street from us. So we were right in the midst of everything.
Such a busy time that must have been.
Oh, yes. And the YW was just seething. We had first aid classes. The Red Cross had bandage-making classes there. And every spot was filled with some kind of activity. And we, like I said, we had first aid classes running almost continuously.
Were you still, what was your title at that time?
Well, I was a director of their adult education program, and I did publicity for the Y, and membership. The membership was kind of not so strong right then, because all the members were working in all these various activities. There were so many volunteer activities going. The cafeteria was teeming with people.